Otto, how does it feel to have a skateboard trick named after you?
Pretty good, but I lump it into the same category as the Otto Rocket Power jokes that I've been hearing forever.
But I totally forgot about Rocket Power Otto.
Yeah, through... Because, so, I am one of those Gen Z. I started school in, like, 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was, like, right at the tail end of when a lot of that was popular. And also, I was a poor kid, so I grew up with the rabbit ears.
You was a poor as well?
Yes. I remember...
You're in good company.
I had the upgraded ones where I had the vice grips to turn the knob instead of the actual knob.
You had indoor antenna.
Yeah.
Mine was outside.
Yeah, we were a little fancy. I didn't even have to worry about getting lightning struck to, like, hold onto it.
Yeah, you was a bougie. Right. You was bougie.
But, so, I didn't have Nickelodeon. So, I've maybe watched two or three episodes, even to this day, of Otto Rocket Power or Rocket Power, because mm-hmm. I remember getting called it so much. I hate the show, even though I have never seen it. I have maybe seen three episodes of it, and I will refuse to watch it anytime. I've been wanting to go back and watch it, but it's just that negative of, like, everyone's like, hey, Otto Rocket Power. It's like, I don't know what this is. I'm poor.
Rocket Power was one of those shows that was... It was all around, like, Brink. Did anybody ever see the old movie from Disney Channel called Brink?
Yeah, it was in that, like, X Games was the game.
Yes. Like, so it was one of those situations to where they'd have your skateboarding, your rollerblading, your surfing. It was all based mm-hmm. around that stuff. And I remember there's this one fat white kid that moved to Hawaii out where they were, and he was trying to learn how to surf, and he couldn't do it. He was too fat. But then this big chunky guy that was a Hawaiian dude that worked in the cafe that they all owned, he said, "No, brother, bigger brothers need bigger boards." And he got him a longboard, and the buddy could outsurf all of his friends speed-wise after that.
What did this have to do with Rocket Power?
Oh, that was all what Rocket Power was based on.
Oh, that?
All of that,
so
yeah.
So the show was about being portly and getting bigger boards?
Well, that was one episode around one character that was their main character friend.
Well, and to be fair, as another large man, I feel like a lot of sports stuff isn't made for me, because I tried skateboarding as well, and my center of gravity is way up here, and that's also the fall-off point. So anytime I would go slightly sideways, it's just automatic, like... eat dirt.
Well, so if you pull an Otto, we're in for a real bad time.
If you pull an Otto, I'm in for an ambulance.
Wait till you hit your 30s.
The paramedics are coming in a field.
Hey, everybody, I'm Dane Holland.
I'm Austin Shazam Pfeiffer.
Oh, I'm Cadel Otto.
And I'm Austin Tiny Zen.
And we are Nerd It Through the Grapevine, the podcast where four best friends gather weekly to talk about our favorite parts of past, present, and future nerd culture. And one of the OG GGs, Otto, is here with us today. And you said Cadel is actually how it's said?
Yes.
We've been saying Cadel the whole time.
It's Cadel, or it's either one, really. I came up with one of the nerd ways. I was watching Sword Art Online.
Yes.
And my old gamer tag was King Squatch 14. And I was like, if I get transported into said isekai, I don't want to be called that. So I'm going to change my gamer tag to something that, like, resembles a name. So
this was just in case the Ezekiah ever becomes real life, right?
You know, like,
okay. You never know.
With the brain zoom going on, Elon's Neuralink, mm-hmm. like, it's very real. We may get sucked into the digital world.
It's about damn time we had another rational voice on this podcast.
Yeah, and, like, I'm not saying it's a necessarily good thing, but I'm hoping, like, mine goes more like the time I got reincarnated like as a slime,
mm-hmm.
and less like No Game, or not No Game, Not Life. Oh, what's...
You're only talking to me right now.
Right.
I've done these.
Yeah, don't look at me. Okay. I don't know.
But yeah, I just don't want one of the bad ones, so, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, you got a good one. And I'm glad you're in this world. And consider this an Ezekiah trip into the digital world that you're normally listening to, and now you're a part of it. You're a voice in it, and it's long overdue. And you're actually here for the fourth episode? Is this our fourth episode of Seen It Through the Grapevine?
Which is technically the first movie of Star Wars.
Yes. And
it's not technically. It was the first.
It was, yeah.
It was the first book, the first movie. It was a lot of firsts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but it's our fourth in this series. So those of you that have listened before, you know what's happening. Those of you who haven't, this is where we go through a movie, which right now we're doing a bunch of the Star Wars ones since we're the number one all-time Star Wars podcast on Good Pods for whatever reason. And we go through the movie. We pause it, and then we kind of fast forward through the movie scene by scene and relive the moments that we love so much from Star Wars. And sometimes we even notice things we didn't really notice before.
Yep.
And it makes it a lot more fun this way, especially with movies you've seen 1,000 times. It's nice to watch it in a different manner and with other people and being able to talk the whole time. It's actually encouraged in this way. So, because if not, that's going to be an awkward hour of podcast. So we're doing A New Hope today, which, like Tiny said, it's the first everything of Star Wars. And when this came out in 77?
Yeah.
Is that right? 77?
I'm pretty sure Star Wars was 77.
Or 66.
It was either 77 or 72.
I think it's 77, because I think Vans was 66, and I think Star Wars is 77. Sometimes I get those back and forth. But yes, A New Hope. We're going to watch it now, and it starts with the crawl, which last time we did this, I was enlightened to the fact that the crawl isn't necessarily a Star Wars original thing. Like, it was something that Spaceman did.
I reject that reality and substitute my own to where Star Wars was the first and only thing that's ever done this.
Oh, yeah. And I'll live in that with you.
Yeah.
I don't mind living
in
that.
I don't care what Marcus or the internet says.
Yeah.
I mean, when's the internet ever been right?
The answer then there again was Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon. Thank you. I just remembered Spaceman.
That's not even a real thing.
No, it's not.
This was actually one of the first movies I remember, like, remember, because my mom bought it for me on VHS, and, like, I'd watched a couple before, but I remember watching this, and, like, that my lizard brain activated, and I was just like, oh, I just want to inhale everything I can of Star Wars.
Yep.
And I was lucky enough that this was happening when, I think, 2 had just come out and 3 was coming out.
Oh, nice.
So I got to see a little bit of that. I didn't get to see him in theaters, but it gave me that feel. Whenever I finally did with Force Awakens, I remember watching the title crawl to this and watching the title crawl of that. Theaters gave me the same, like, brain tingle.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think that what we're going to experience now, too, since, I mean, at least the Tiny and Dane and myself, we're going to experience what the movie is going to be like, skipping backwards in time but forwards in plot. So you're going to be looking at all these practical effects,
yes,
as opposed to all of the,
I mean,
all the of the now there will be computer generated stuff in here because these are the redone versions of the movies that are put on.
Sadly,
I mean, I have watched 1 through 6 in that order before, just not in this herky jerky manner.
Yeah,
it's not completely foreign to me.
Yeah, it's really weird too because the jump in technology, like that leap backwards. And the fun thing with Star Wars fans is they will come up for a lore reason for anything, no matter how weird it is.
Yep.
Like, there's any time a side character is named, like, the lore community automatically just comes up with stuff. And I think for this one, to explain the time jump back, is the Emperor decided to not focus on technology and just, like, go straight for war. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense because this is the Star Wars. Like, why would you want to go back? Like, oh, we can already go fast. Let's not worry about going faster. What do you mean? Go faster. Get better laser guns.
He wanted harpoons instead of blasters, but then they said, no, we can't go that far back.
Right.
So he settled.
And also, it took them 15 years to build a single space station. We talked about that at the end of the last episode, because if it's that big of a gap and they had literally that much of the space station done,
yeah.
I mean, that's a long, long period of time for that thing to be built and nobody do a thing about it.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, let's just take a moment to just take in the majesty of these majestic scarab-like helmets that these troops are wearing.
We have started the movie, and the first scene, of course, starts in space, but then it goes inside the ship.
Mm-hmm. It goes to an inner space from an outer space.
And the soldier men on the ship are wearing the just most ridiculous buckets on their heads.
Yep.
but I love it.
I like how there's a visor that's roughly on the top of their head in the helmet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't necessarily... Well, I mean, yeah, I guess it speed. Slides down, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they have so many horsepower with that helmet.
Right. I bet those are probably like the cycling helmets.
Yeah, they have got at least three.
And so when everyone is watching as this movie comes out in theaters for the first time ever, and people are so excited because this is something completely new, and they see these kind of weird-looking helmets on people, and it's kind of funny-looking, but still, you know, futuristic. And then a stormtrooper shows up.
Those guys, that holds up. That is, that's iconic, because before this, they've never seen that before.
No.
Yeah.
No, they are automatically a force to be reckoned with, especially whenever you compare them to these other gentlemen. And then in walks Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm. The big boy.
Which makes the stormtroopers look like the good guys.
Right.
Yep.
Because he's so menacing.
In the book, he's described as being almost 7 feet tall. So it is pretty appropriate that he stands head and shoulders above all the stormtroopers.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever they gave him the new legs, they had him add a couple inches. So he'll always have the high ground over Obi-Wan.
Right.
Yeah. He'll never lose another fight with him. And it's true. He doesn't.
No.
So we also get to see 3PO and R2 right off the bat here, two of my favorite Star Wars characters of all time.
Have you heard about the Mandela effect with C-3PO?
What about him?
So originally, they say that he had, if you can get to a shot of his legs, apparently
at one of them silver and one's gold.
They used to both be gold, which is the one I also remember whenever I first saw it, but also I was a child.
Right.
But I also remember there was once two gold legs, but now there's a gold and a silver leg.
Hmm. But it was probably always that way?
Yeah. I'm sure that it was. Because, you know, when you're really young and you're watching, you just see cool robot people. You're not going to go, hey, his leg don't match.
Yeah. Because, I just saw a cool robot dude.
I mean, right. It's very easy to misremember things, especially stuff from that long ago. I mean, okay, Smooth Criminal. You've been hit by... Okay, what are the lyrics?
Smooth Criminal.
It's been... It was.
You've been hit by...
You've been struck by...
But the struck by is later on, right? Is it you've been hit by twice and then later you've been struck by?
Struck by never happened.
What?
Wait,
no,
it never says you've been hit by, you've been struck by?
You've been hit by, you've been hit by.
He never says struck by.
Never says struck by.
I would check my phone, but it's currently recording.
It is the...
Otto, you are the Google man. Google it, please, sir.
It's just one of those things that it's either misremembered or it's different now.
Whoa. Could it also be...
One of the lyrics does say struck by.
Well, because it was covered by Alien Ant Farm. Do you think maybe it was changed?
It very well could have been changed by Alien Ant Farm, and then we didn't realize
it. We're talking about Michael Jackson here.
Right, you're right.
we ain't...
But that's so far off base of what we're doing, I don't want to get into that wormhole. I'm just letting you know. Because
we'll keep falling.
Mandela has been on my mind today, just so thanks for bringing it up.
It does say that he struck you a sardo. So there is a struck by in there, but I am not seeing you've been hit by a smooth criminal. Austin, I don't like that.
I know!
Well, and with the 3PO thing, also as a kid, you're even with the inconsistency of that one leg being a different color from the rest of him, I think your brain automatically just makes it all the same color.
Right.
Just so it's easier for your brain to process the imagery of it.
I've gone back and looked at the originals before they were specialized, you know, to take out some of the practical effects, and he did have odd colored legs. They were never the same color.
You know actually why he did that and why it's like impossible to find the original practical ones? Because his ex-wife helped him on...
C-3PO's ex-wife?
No. George Lucas's wife helped him write 1, 2, and 3, and their divorce was not a happy one.
I'm sure it wasn't.
So he went through and changed the original trilogy just enough so he doesn't have to pay her royalties. And that's why you can't find the original ones.
Oh, you mean she helped him with 4, 5, and 6?
Yeah, 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah,
4, 5, and 6 she helped with. And their divorce, like, she helped enough to where she was given a credit, and he wanted to make sure he didn't have to pay her royalties for that credit. So he went through and re-released everything, redid all the work, and again, probably made a bajillion dollars off of it.
Right.
And now that's the only way you can find it, because if he reprints the originals or send those out, he has to pay her royalties.
So everything from remasters, I guess is what we can call it. The Lucas remasters. So everything from that point on is all him making money off of it. She only made money off of everything that came prior
right.
to that remaster.
Once the new remasters come out, like he doesn't have to pay her anything on it.
Wow. So if you have an original VHS copy of the original trilogy when they released them in the box sets together, mm-hmm. and they were all the pre mm-hmm. era of that, that might be worth money.
Yeah.
Quick,
they're,
boys.
They're worth a little bit.
I don't think everything is
expensive.
Worth some money, okay?
I think they're like maybe like $50 or so. I don't think it's like wild, but the fact that...
I mean, they've not been changed much. Because, I mean, I've watched them back to back to see the differences, and mainly the changes are in the effects.
Yeah.
Because the story's the same, the interactions are the same.
Right.
There's not a lot different.
The fact that the gun is made out of a cheap plastic water pistol is the same.
I love it. Yep.
It's got a water pistol with a silencer on it.
You
got
to think, you remember, this was before CRTs, so that looked real. Mm-hmm. It just threw, you could chew on the pixels too.
Yep. Same thing with gaming. Whenever you see something on a CRT TV in the pixelation,
I thought GTA San Andreas was so real. I was like, this is the future. And then I saw my cousin's PS3, GTA 4, and I'm like, oh, this is cardboard.
Look, I'll do you one worse, okay? The first time that I played Final Fantasy VIII and watched one of the cutscenes because my stepbrother had a PlayStation 2 because he was not as much of a poor.
Right.
During the cutscenes, I looked at him and I'm like, this looks like real life.
Yep.
So
mm-hmm.
I was there.
I feel that.
I know exactly the feeling that you have, Tiny.
Yeah.
Because I was bad. I was playing a baseball game, I think. It was on the PS3, and someone had walked by and just thought, looked at the TV and just thought I was watching a baseball game. And I was like, no, I'm playing one. Like, this is me. And that was before it even looked good.
Right. It's like I'm orchestrating this.
So we're not even far into this movie yet. Like just a few minutes into the movie, and we've already seen Vader, 3PO, R2, and Leia.
And they look way better than they did in any of the first three.
Mm-hmm. And
right.
And now
that was just a shot of ass right there.
If you're watching this 10 seconds at a time, just... pause by pause, it shows Leia showing her face for the first time with her pistol up in the air, just ready to see what's going on. 10 seconds later, booty. She's face down on the ground.
Right, she's out.
Yeah. She's and Stormtrooper gone. Booty is right there.
You can see where it's molded as well. It's not smooth. It's like you can see where it's like hand molded.
Oh yeah,
dang.
And that this is something also that you don't see with the computer generated effects.
You don't have all the... Because the imperfections are what makes your brain think this is real.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Like 3PO, he looks so good.
He looks like he's there because he is.
Exactly. Yeah. And that little thing on his chest where it looks like, I don't know, a shitty weld.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just helps add to him being a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's Adam Savage. He actually... I don't think he worked on this one, but he worked for ILM.
He worked on episode 5.
Yeah, episode 5. But he said the trick to making your models look real is adding stuff like that. Because, it's just a glob of metal. But, Tiny said, I mean, that's a story right there. It's like maybe he got a bad repair or maybe got hit by something.
Yeah.
And that's the perk to practical effects is you can tell those little stories that visual effects are just now catching up to.
Adam Savage. That name sounds familiar.
Mythbusters.
I thought so.
And plus, the
didn't Jamie die?
No.
Austin, one of the what you can't do that here. You
Hold
cannot
on.
Confuse people for being alive and dead.
I gotta throw stuff at him real quick. Hold on.
Yep. There
Stop
we go.
I'm trying to kill people I love.
You know the power you have. You don't. I don't want that bad juju on me, Ricky Bobby.
I don't know which water bottle's got the good water in it now.
Good.
Pour them all together. Good. Drink it all at once.
Drink them all, you nasty boy.
Nasty sick boy.
Damn. What you deserve.
The tarnishing and the dust and the grime and stuff just gives it, like you said, it gives it life as opposed to just being a shiny graphic.
And we don't have to see Bradley's weird ships in this movie. So that's also a plus. Yeah.
Bradley, man, those circles. He just likes circles.
He did.
Loves them. And he loves balls inside of circles.
I remembered that it wasn't Jamie that died, and I'm sorry that I said it.
That was Grant Imahara.
Yes, right.
He had a brain aneurysm.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Yes. And even this, you do not see Vader's helmet the way you do in the scene. Really, anywhere else in the trilogy, I feel, because
it looks like an oil painting.
It looks messed up.
Well, and that it shows a time passage as well, which George Lucas is god awful at.
Yes.
George Lucas is Okay, am I back?
Hmm? You never went anywhere. You just went somewhere in your own head. Yeah.
The voices got quiet for a second. But George Lucas is a fantastic world builder. He has a vision, and he can bring it to life. He is a god-awful writer, and he should never be allowed in a writer's room, ever.
Yeah. Well, okay, I will throw in a little bone of contention, because I've read the novels. The only one he wrote was A New Hope, and that thing is miserable to get through. He is not a good world builder. He is not a good author, but he is good at starting an idea. Because everything that you love about Star Wars that made it good, like Episode 5, was all done by other people.
So he can pour the shit out of a foundation for a house, but as soon as you give him a 2x4 and a hammer... Good luck.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's kind of funny, too, because everything else that could happen could be absolute just trash. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, look at the foundation.
Yeah, look what I did.
Yeah, pretty much. 1, 2, and 3, where he had his hand in, the world building is great. Like, the visual effects, the aliens, like, it feels like a real world. Mm-hmm. It's just he can't write a political thriller, which those are trying to be.
Look, here's what he did. He hired people that were masters of their craft, okay? Mm-hmm. He owned ILM, which he made for these movies. So it wasn't him. It was all the people that he surrounded himself with. It was a very Carnegie-like effect because when Carnegie was interviewed, they said, well, how do you know all the stuff about the steel industry? He said, I don't know anything, but that man, and that man does. That's why they work for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's George Lucas in a nutshell.
Yeah, he was good at building his world of people to help him make this, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, with that. Like, he knew talent when he saw it.
Exactly.
And luckily, he let them go with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the imperfections in Vader's helmet here, because later on we don't see that. It's very smooth and shiny and never looks messed up.
I mean, it was literally pieces of plastic hot glued together, you know?
I love it. And then getting to see R2 and 3PO in the desert together, just being buddies, and how much R2 cusses all the time.
Yeah, just all the time.
Dudes being bros.
Guys being bros.
And R2 just always has his own ideas and motives. And then 3PO says he doesn't want to follow him, but then he's like,
I don't want to be alone.
Well, I think part of it is 3PO does not actually understand R2 that well. I think he only kind of knows the gist of whatever language R2 speaks, which is why they separate so often.
He knows all the languages.
No, he doesn't.
He knows every one of them.
He knows the Sith language.
He does.
He knows Scythopian.
He was programmed not to be able to speak it.
Of course.
But then, yeah. Well, that's spoilers for a later scene.
Oh, yeah. We'll I shouldn't have went there.
Beans.
Darn.
The Jawas got our trash can buddy.
So,
the
only part of the Sandcrawler, so a little precursor, I have way too many fun facts in my head.
No, we need this.
And the second that Austin told me, like, hey, do you want to come say fun facts about Star Wars? I couldn't type yes fast enough. But the Sandcrawler, the only part of it that's actually real is the tread. And it almost started an international incident between two countries in the Middle East, because they just saw a giant tank tread and thought it was a weapon building being built on their border. And like diplomats had to be like messenger and be like, hey, it's a movie. Here's all of our licenses. It's made out of cardboard. It's not real. Please don't throw missiles at each other.
Wow. Star Wars almost started in Earth Wars. That was close. Yeah, the Jawas get a hold of R2, and then they're going to scrap him for parts, because it's what they do. They go around and they find junk, and then they sell it to people.
They are salvagers.
Yes.
Also thieves, but you know.
Wall-E from Disney's Wall-E.
He really fell off.
He did. He's in this movie.
What's that one robot movie that was...
Wall-E?
iRobot? No, from the 90s. It was live action.
Oh,
robots.
No batteries required?
No, not that one.
Chappie? No.
No. It was a robot that looked like that.
Oh, Short Circuit.
Yes, thank you.
Johnny Five Alive.
Johnny Five, thank you.
That is exactly what he looks like.
Or Bob from Nintendo.
Yeah, I can remember Bob.
Correct.
I don't know what that is.
Well, you get to fight with him.
It's a Smash Bro.
Smash Bro.
It's a brother in Smash.
And I love the... whenever you can tell that something is a model. This is a toy model, right?
You can see the perfect jump between practical and effect. Like, so go down, and then 10 seconds later, and
that CGI not real.
Lizard.
Yep.
That used to be real, and it looked really good,
mm-hmm.
and now it looks like clay.
Well, I mean, also the first appearance of Jabba the Hutt in this movie, it was a dude in a hairy vest.
Yeah.
So,
it was. Was that Jabba, or was that a person sent to speak with him?
It was Jabba, because when Han walks around and calls him that, because they added where, you know, he walks around and he's talking to him. They added the step up and the little squeal, because it was a dude in the first time, but none of the dialogue changed. He was still called Jabba the Hutt.
Really? Yes. Okay. I thought he was like a person sent to speak with him for Jabba.
Yeah.
Interesting. But you're right. I think this is like the first thing we've seen since we just started the movie of obvious
like tampering.
Non-practical effects. But then again, we are, you know, missing 10 seconds at a time, but it does stand out big time. I love that we get so much time with 3PO and mm-hmm. R2 in this. Maybe at the time, because I knew, by the time we watched this, we knew a lot about Star Wars already. And then when we saw these, we were also wanting to get to the part where you see the Jedi you know, and all the cool lightsabers and stuff. So as a kid watching those moments, it wasn't as exciting to me as it is now.
Right.
Because now the Jedi, the lightsabers and all that stuff is kind of secondary to me, because it's the personalization of these characters, of how much personality they all have and how much I love 3PO and R2.
I was first introduced to Star Wars through Alvin and the Chipmunks. They had a series called Alvin and the Chipmunks Go to the Movies.
Really?
Chipmunks go to the movies. Anyway, they had a series of movies that came out, and they were all the chipmunks replacing the roles of major movies. I never saw the Star Wars one, but in the opening bit, they had scenes that showed all the different movies that they'd redone, and the Star Wars one was one of them. And they were fighting with these laser swords. I'm like, what is that? What's this laser sword thing that they're fighting with? And my dad was like, that's Star Wars. And I'm like, what's Star Wars? And my dad was like,
oh, I failed you.
Oh,
I failed his father.
Well, here, watch this. So he got the VHS and we watched it.
Very cool.
I mean, that's awesome. He also refused to answer your question. What is this laser sword? It's Star Wars.
He's like, I don't know, man. Yeah, midichlorians?
My dad, those didn't exist then.
I mean, can you
imagine? True.
Like, looking at this shot, the massiveness of the crawler versus the smallness of, Luke's house.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine how big the motor and how much energy it would take to move something that large?
That's the Jawas. They're resourceful.
I mean, they scrap everything.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just talking about size. It's wild.
I think that's one perk that these older movies have, is because, now everything in Star Wars has to have, a purpose and function in, what it does. Mm-hmm. This is back in that era of sci-fi where you can just say something was, and they won't be like, well, actually, how does it work, though? And that's why the Metachlorians were made, because everyone wanted to, quantify what the Force was.
Yeah.
That version of just like, oh yeah, it's just a thing, and everyone moves on.
Just leave it
alone. Couldn't be a religious type belief. You know, we had to give it something, because I mean, a lot of ways Jedi is religion.
Oh yeah,
it's just Buddhism, but with a couple different, Buddhism with laser swords.
With swords, right. Yeah.
Vroom vroom swords.
There is a large black and gold droid standing next to 3PO, next to the sand crawler. And it's awesome, and I don't think I've ever noticed it before.
I know,
but it's massive.
It kind of looks like four trash cans bounced on each other.
Kind of.
That's probably what it
was.
But
then you have gonk droids, which are trash cans.
Yeah, they just took Rubbermaid bins and flipped them onto each other.
It was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely brilliant.
You know, there's actually so the 501st is like a real life cosplay, like clone trooper, stormtrooper unit.
Oh yeah,
there's the same one for gonk droids, and these people get together in gonk droid costumes, just like walk around conventions. It's the best thing. If you ever find a video, I can't remember what they're called, but it's just like a group of gonk droid cosplayers, and I'm like, that seems like a fun cosplay.
That is so much more impressive to me than the 501st stormtroopers.
Right, because like you can 3D print like the stormtrooper ones, and like they'll look really good, really easily. You know, if you know what you're doing in a decent 3D printer. A Gonk droid will always look terrible, but the more terrible and like shitty it looks, the more movie accurate, you know?
Right. Oh, yeah.
There's a fun little comic book that this red and white droid that explodes is a Jedi in and of itself. Like, it knew through the Force that it wasn't supposed to be the one that go with Luke.
That's wild.
So it detonates itself.
See, and that, to allow that, him to that's get literally R2. What I was talking about. Yeah. Star Wars fans make up an excuse for anything yeah. to be why it is.
Yeah, it couldn't just be a droid that's a POS yeah. picked up probably in the middle of a desert.
It couldn't
by
be your
a Jawa.
Uncle, your Uncle Davey's droid that he duct taped and zip tied back together from the dump, you know.
Yeah.
It also kind of yeah. looks like the desert wind and sand are chafing poor C-3PO's nipples.
Yeah, it's just too little. It looks like he's been lactating because there's like little watermarks dripping down.
Nah, son,
right,
that's blood. That's blood from wind chafing.
His dad, his creator, hated sand, and so does 3PO. Because exactly. just look at his nipples. Now we understand why.
Right.
Especially that right one. It is so much more Ooh. Erect than the left.
Yeah, it is. What a wild time to be a
droid.
So
does that mean that Hayden Christensen or Anakin Skywalker just didn't like sandy nipples?
That's it. Yeah, it was just about nipples the whole time.
Because if sand's in the nipple, then all of a sudden sand's in your mouth, and then he's just having a flashback to the desert.
Hold
and
on. Mm-hmm. Are your nipples connected to your mouth? Because
Sometimes.
Mine are not.
Oh, that's how I clean them.
Sometimes. Yeah. How do you clean yours? That's
in the shower with water.
Tiny, that's gross.
Sometimes a rag.
That's You're disgusting. Awful.
That I also scrub my door with.
I can't.
I have a disc oh. sander. I just go through there. Yeah. I put a foam pad on the front of it, and you know, a bunch of body wash. Just that's what how I clean myself.
It's a great way to get rid of these ashy knees.
You're so futuristic. I'm stuck way back in the past.
Hey, you can't try that on my
sanders.
You can't have dry skin if you don't have skin.
True.
The little red and white droid that we were talking about that. R2 is chosen over this one because this one smokes out. It actually,
it
420 constantly. This one actually shows up in, this is not really a spoiler, for the newest Mando season. That droid shows back up and it has a new purpose, which is pretty cool. But that's also Star Wars doing its thing to where everything has to be.
It's not like
these
droids rolled off an assembly line and 15 other of them were made.
Right. It's the same one within the whole entirety of the universe. It showed up and we're using it now.
Look at his face.
Yeah, and you missed
look how happy he is to
Luke.
Scrub R2 yeah. and to get the sand out of there. He's like, little buddy, I know that this sand sucks. Let me fix it for you.
It's in his jeans to hate it.
Yep. It is.
You also miss...
Also, this brown trousers. Yes.
the C-3PO being dunked in on. Oh, thank the maker.
Yes, and that's Anakin.
And that
that's
makes
the maker.
Me want to... I don't know. I know it's probably boiling oil that would hurt my skin meat, but it seems like it'd be pretty comfortable for like a split second. You
for
know?
Sure. I want to get in there.
It's probably the equivalent of doing a jacuzzi.
Okay.
You know, but
hotter and
except for a robot.
Right.
I mean, we could do a human jacuzzi, but put canola oil in it, and it'll be basically the same thing.
I don't want
I think
that.
It's called being
okay,
deep fried.
Okay, vegetable oil. No. You only go up to like 100 and whatever like the jacuzzi is built for, not 350.
350 for 30 minutes, you know,
your
chicken
tenders. I don't need to be a chicarone.
So Luke pops open a little piece on R2, and then out pops the hologram of... Leia.
A small blue sexy lady.
Exactly. And she's saying, hey, Obi-Wan, you're my only hope. There's some bad stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And Luke's like, whoa, this lady's really pretty.
Yeah.
It's your sister, my dude.
Hey, well, this was before he knew.
Yes. Yes, it is.
His face says, this is no way this is my sister.
Before
this
he's
right.
This face says, please don't be my sister.
Look at that.
Him. Oh, he's
right. He's got the lip
biting the lip.
I mean, it even made 3PO have a, you know, a semi-erect tummy nipple.
Hey, to be fair, as someone from a small town, the second there was a girl there that you haven't known since diapers, you get pretty excited. It's like, oh, other female, hey.
Hold on, I gotta
and
snap
she turns
a picture
out to be a cousin.
Right.
See, in this, though, nobody knew they were related. Like, nobody knew they were related. Nobody,
it wasn't
the writers.
George Lucas didn't even know.
Yeah, nobody involved in this had any idea. Also, poor Owen aged so much in 15 years.
Right. Sure right. He had a rough time. Moisture farming is a rough life.
The moisture was coming from him.
Yeah. He got too close. And look at Aunt Beru.
Yeah, they...
She's stuck in the 70s.
Yeah.
They had to squeeze it out of one another.
I think that is funny that...
I think that's just called sex.
Maybe right.
Well, they have different... The moisture farmers, they do a different thing.
Right. And like most aliens and like other people in this, especially like prequel trilogies, name like Ahsoka, Anakin, like all these different names. And this is, oh, Aunt Beru and Uncle Ben?
Yep.
It's like, yeah, just the podunk farmers out there. They don't get the cool names, you know?
The twin sons and him, Luke, staring off into them is just an iconic moment.
Right. Oh, here, we get some future tech in this, so we get to see what it's actually made out of.
I love it.
So I don't. I've never heard of Obi-Wan. Do you think that could possibly be Old Ben? Because you know those names, they sound exactly the damn same. Old Ben, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know.
Well, I used to know an Old Ben Kenobi. Maybe that's Obi-Wan.
More like a has-been Kenobi.
Maybe they're brothers.
Maybe he's finally talking to Qui-Gon 15 minutes ago.
Did you know that Obi-Wan, or Ewan McGregor, the guy that plays Obi-Wan, actually has a brother that was in the Royal Air Force?
And yeah, they, Obi-2.
Yeah, his call sign was Obi-2.
That's great.
Right?
We see Luke's speeder as they're on their way to try to find Old Man Ben. And it's one of those iconic machines in the world of Star Wars as well. Because it's, like Marcus has mentioned in the past, we see all these awesome things in the movies that came after this, but before this in the story. And they're so incredible to look at for the split second you see them, and then they're gone forever. Like, yep. So nothing sticks around. Like Kashyyyk, like some of those machines on Kashyyyk were awesome.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But we totally forgot about them completely until you end up pausing on a scene with it. But with Luke's speeder, it's... kind of sticks around for a minute. So it becomes more iconic that way.
Yep. It's like a flying croc.
Yep.
And there's your dog.
My dog, the sand people?
No, no, no. Austin's dog, Millie.
The Bantha.
Oh, the Bantha. Yeah.
If we let that hair go uncontrolled, all she's missing is her horns.
We see the sand people on a Bantha, which does look exactly like Austin's dog.
Another thing, in the original, not the original cut, but whenever they originally filmed it, he only did the, he only did that once, and then they just looped it two more times.
Is that right?
Yeah. Like, if you look, I think in the original ones, you can actually, like, frame a cut where it perfectly goes back, it like, forth and back.
Oh, yeah, where they fast, or forward, and then reverse it, and then play it again. Yeah. It's the sound of a donkey played backwards, correct? And mixed with another sound?
I think so.
I think that's what it is. The Foley for all of this, because I've seen a couple of different videos about the Foley work with Star Wars. It is so cool, the ways that they do all of that. Like one, I think for a blaster, they take a slinky and go to the top of a set of a ladder and stretch it out really far and then just tap it with like a little metal rod. And that makes that different frequency sound, like traveling through the slinky to make the sound of a blaster.
I love how this is practical effect for the speeder actually existing and being there, and it's actually floating seriously just due to camera angle and the positioning of the rocks underneath it.
Yep.
It's always fun in these old movies citing the precariously placed objects to hide the strings.
Yep. And I think there's just something really clever about that. Like right here, there's the moment where we see Old Ben for the first time. And the speeder's behind a rock, and the underside of the speeder, 3/4 of it is hidden behind that rock, so it's easily just set on top of boxes or whatever.
Right, and also that 18 years was very hard on Kenobi as well. Yeah. I think it was worse on him than Uncle Owen.
Oh yeah, yeah. Ben, he aged about 40 years in that short span of time, but he chases away the sand people and finds Luke.
And what does he say? Hello there.
Right. Yeah, he does say hello there. And then whenever they made the newer films, that was a callback to that moment.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So this was technically the first.
And I guess he didn't see Luke much at all after, because in the show for Obi-Wan, we see him kind of come up to him and give him a toy, the ship. And he's supposed to just be watching from afar because...
Well, he's seen him enough because when he saw the recording in R2, he goes, do you think it could possibly be Old Ben?
Right.
Because he makes that correlation. So he's seen him enough that he is familiar with who he is.
We'll get that time gap filled in Obi-Wan season 2.
Well, I know in the books...
Not happening.
In the books, I can't remember if they're legends or canon or not, but there are several times that he goes through and... fights off like people coming for Luke. Mm-hmm. So it could be possible that he sees him, but Luke just doesn't know him as much.
Yeah, I think that's extended universe. Yeah,
it's just Obi-Wan watching a kid from afar.
Yeah.
I just thought that would suck for poor teenage Luke after he gets out of prom and he's got his time with his date after prom and he's stopping anybody coming for Luke. All of a sudden, this blue lightsaber slices through the side of your tent that you've got set up for your romantic prom night.
It's my date.
Or
nobody comes for my Luke.
In the movie scene where like they pull up to like make out Rock, and then in the background you just see old Ben like popping over the rock, like, oh,
just making sure that she's not coming for making sure she's not coming for Luke.
You just see this blue beam appear from nowhere and pierce her through the head and disappear. he had the worst adolescence and protection.
Abstinence is so cool.
This is not the Jedi way.
Well, no, I'm not going to say what I'm thinking. So,
Obi-Wan brings Luke into his little hut.
I'm going to say it.
Okay, that's fine. Cut it out. That's fine.
So Luke can only hit it and quit it. He can't finish the job because Ben murders him.
That's not bad.
I churched it up a lot.
Right. Oh, it is weird that the old guy, you can tell this is made pre-Stranger Danger, because the old man just takes the kid in there, and there's not
he's not a stranger. You keep saying that he's a stranger. He's not.
He said,
is that old Ben? He knows who old Ben is.
Well, just because you know who Herbert the pervert is down the road doesn't mean that you go into his house.
It doesn't stop Chris from doing odd jobs for him, though.
Oh, young fella, why don't you come on down here and clean out my gutters?
Right?
He's not a stranger. He's not.
And we just missed out on this.
He just doesn't know everything about him.
We just missed out on the scene of Luke staring down the barrel of the laser. And even Mark Hamill has watched this. He's watched this scene over again and commented on it. And he's like, yeah, no wonder people cling on to this, because it's a... You know, not to make a Star Trek reference.
I was fixing
it. Yeah, I know. I saw it in your butthole.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things, like, because even Mark Hamill's like, yeah, just one of the most lethal weapons in the galaxy. Just pointed straight at your eyeball.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, he didn't know what it was.
Right.
He finds out after, and he's like, yeah, this is a lightsaber. Oh, cool.
Man, just the anguish in Obi-Wan's face when talking about Anakin, Luke's father to him. It's really cool, because I've seen some cuts that people have made on YouTube. It's like in that moment of him making those faces and saying just a couple lines to Luke, then they'll show moments from the prequel trilogy of like them being friends and then their fight with one another and Luke and Anakin, you know, turning to the dark side. And it's just showing the moments that he's recalling here that didn't exist yet whenever they made this movie. But it's just really cool for somebody to retroactively go back and go, this is what he was remembering in these moments of anguish.
You know, the thing that I think is done a lot better in this movie than any of the other movies, how well feathered everybody's hair is.
Truth.
It's the 70s. They knew how to do it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and Mark Hamill's hair is so good.
I think one of my favorite memes is an old Mark Hamill standing outside this gas station that says Tashi holding power converters.
Yes.
You know, that is one of my favorite memes.
He posted that picture online.
He did. Yeah. He's like, I finally made it.
Yeah. We then get the side wipe, the classic Star Wars scene change, which must never disappear. Well, that's funny, because the scene does. But anyway, so we move on to Vader talking to a bunch of, I guess, generals or whatever you want to call them.
I really like this scene, because I remember being scared of Darth Vader during this scene. I was he's just such an imposing presence in there. I remember, like, as a kid, actually, like, genuinely being nervous whenever I'd see Darth Vader on screen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he chokes a man without even touching him.
I mean, I'm right there with you, because he was one of the first characters that made me sleep under the blanket with my nose poked out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? Because he was terrifying.
He has a monster voice.
Right.
That he's hugely tall. He wields magic and hurts people.
Well, and like, he doesn't have a face. It's just the mask.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And dead parents. He's been Batmaned.
Yeah, he was Batmaned. Yeah. And the reaction to seeing his aunt and uncle, which have been his parents basically his whole life, I don't remember it being very dramatic. It was him very seeing their burned skeletons on the
ground.
It was
very like, oh well, that happened. Well,
which, I mean, shock is a thing, so we can go with that.
Well, he'll run off with the space wizard.
He cried off screen. Yeah. You know?
He just learned about an ancient religion that had weapons that were laser swords, and then his aunt and uncle die. Like, he's having to balance out a lot of emotions for that.
Yeah. Definitely.
He's had a full day. So
he definitely has.
He needs to go have, like, 5-10 minutes of alone time decompress. Like, he has a lot on his plate.
Really does.
Do you mean jerk off? Because I'm pretty sure that means jerk off.
It's...
Oh, he's a teenager. He's like an 18-year-old boy, so, you know.
Yeah, plus he now has a new hologram of his sister, so.
That he doesn't know is his sister.
Truth.
Well, right. We just missed this. We were just...
If you
back it up two little clicks there, you'll see where Obi-Wan actually gives him the ultimatum. He's like, if you feel that bad, here we are.
On a cliff face.
If you want to joke about it, do it then.
Here's a 50-foot tall ledge with rocks underneath it.
We go from model to... Like CGI.
A lot of CGI.
Yeah. CGI.
It looks real bad.
Oh.
Real
like
bad.
Like the shadow. There's a...
so much.
There's a channel I watch on YouTube called Corridor Crew, and they break down CGI and stuff like this, and they actually will go through scenes and make them better of like, here's how you actually do shadows now.
Cool.
And it makes some of this looks good.
Well, there's a strange moment to where this big beast walking through the city walks in front of the entire camera and covers the whole camera up as it walks by, which is a strange... I don't know why that decision was made, but I'm sure there was some kind of effects reason as to why they did that. And we get to see Obi-Wan use the Jedi mind trick on a guard, on a trooper, which is a flame trooper. Is that a flame trooper, I believe?
Sand trooper.
Sand trooper. Gotcha.
See, and here's the thing. Back up just a second. Do you see how low that speeder is riding?
Oh, yeah.
It is at knee height. As a large American, do you realize how difficult that would be to get in and out?
It doesn't have doors. You got to step over.
Exactly. Yeah. I got to step over and slide in.
You got NASCAR that.
Yeah. It's like I can get in, but I'm going to need like 3 mules and a crane to get out.
A pit crew.
I'm going to need a large tub of KY to get out of this speeder.
No, I'm just talking about something just to pick my big ass up. My legs ain't going
to
do it.
And who's to know if we could even get into those kind of things and it would actually keep us afloat? Because these are little scrawny folks that are in it. Little scrawny old man, little scrawny teenage boy. Hell, they might go from speeders to skeeters.
Yeah, right. Well, there's also two robots, and we don't know the exact weight of the two robots.
I would say R2 is pretty heavy.
Yeah, I'd say they're both pretty heavy.
Dense as hell.
Yeah, this is another good... Like, you could tell that's a practical alien because it looks like an alien.
Even the glittery eyeballs that they have. Like
the wrapping paper eyeballs that they put in there.
With some glitter like glued onto wrapping paper thrown inside of, I don't know, probably a clear Easter egg or something.
Right. Inside of a spherical space model.
And in the background, it's just a werewolf... costume
that's
from
just a Halloween,
Halloween
city,
city. Yeah, that's all that is. And one of them's vaping. He's got a sweet rig.
He
dude.
Does.
Dude,
that is
that's a cool yeah. mech mod.
What ohms you vaping, bruh?
Bro, what you vaping on? And the jizz music.
The jizz music. This is where we first see jizz in Star Wars.
It's when we first hear and experience jizz.
Yeah. Which we deserved much sooner.
And
I don't know why they waited as long as they did.
Jizz does feel good. It really just, you know, makes you feel at home.
Yeah, it exfoliates.
It does. It's what I want every time I'm
Space
at
Man?
The alien bar.
Go back one.
Yes.
Those are just like...
That's an astronaut.
Yeah, that's just an astronaut. That's the guy from Space Odyssey 2001.
Yeah.
He fell through the world and just popped out in a Star War.
Yep.
I mean, that would be horrifying.
Right?
We get to see... Obi-Wan,
this scene.
Yeah, Obi-Wan's not about it.
I wonder if we'll be able to see it, because originally there was blood. Mm-hmm. The arm bled whenever it originally came off, and it freaked me out again.
Really?
Yeah, but I think they changed it to where it doesn't bleed.
Kind of funny, in the novel, instead of just cutting off an arm, he cuts the man in twain.
Really?
From head to groin, yes.
Oh,
they kept the blood.
They kept the blood.
All right.
Huh.
Yeah, so
because now to make it PG, it just they say it cauterizes the wound.
Well, I mean, it did get cut by a beam of light, so actually, it does make sense that it would be cauterized,
right?
But they wouldn't think about the extra science involved with it back in these days.
It was just actually, he cut his arm off.
Actually, in the novel, it was written that it was cauterized.
Really?
Yep.
Hmm.
That's weird.
Is cauterization a complete process, or could there be some non-cauterized blood going around too?
I don't know. I've never played with a light sword.
I've never cut a man's arm off with the laser sword.
Well,
maybe someday.
Yeah, but there's plenty of time. Never say never. We do get to see Chewbacca for the first time inside this bar. Chewie and Han.
And Guido.
Han shoots first.
Yeah, Han does shoot first.
Han shoots first.
They changed it in the digital one to where Greedo shoots first, and it's a freaking liar.
Greedo.
God,
not Guido. Greedo.
You said Greedo. I thought you were making a joke, but yeah, that's funny.
But yeah, they changed it because they wanted to be, Han's a good guy. He wouldn't do that. No, he's not. He's a pirate. He's a smuggler in this one.
Thank you.
He's not a good guy yet.
And he doesn't need to be a good guy yet. No, like, that's part of his character arc, is being kind of a shitty dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he never actually needs to be a good guy.
Yeah.
And Greedo's a pretty cool looking character as well. Mm-hmm. And Greedo wasn't even in the movie very long, and yet he is an iconic character.
That is a spider bear.
Yeah, spider bear. I don't want to see a spider bear.
It's like an owl bear from D&D.
Yeah.
Anytime that Vader's standing straight up, it always looks like he's just looking at the roof.
Yeah.
Like anytime he has.
He's always checking the high ground for Obi-Wan.
It is. He has PTSD of not being able to look up.
Yep.
Jabba.
CGI Jabba shows up.
CBI slug.
And Han
was initially a man.
Communication with. And then they do that awkward step over the tail, which elevates him because he doesn't. Does he step over anything in the original one?
No.
He just walks around.
He just walks around.
I don't think this scene exists in the first one.
It does.
But he's talking to a guy with like a fur.
Yeah, it's like a bald-headed guy with like a fur vest.
Weird looking.
Yeah, look at it. Go back again because you can see where it's been altered.
Whenever it shows Han, like, they didn't even need to add this.
No, they didn't.
No one would have wondered, how did he walk around him with his big long tail? Like, it just. It looks so strange.
And like the layering over of Han's hand passing over Jabba, it looks like you can tell they didn't blend it properly. Same with like Jabba's moving way too quick for how he moves in the rest of the series. He's moving like a person, not like a giant slug beast.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really just weird decision. But like you said, he wanted to change it up enough to be able to be the only one making money. And we get to see Boba Fett.
I don't think Boba was originally, because... I don't remember this. I don't remember Boba being there. I remember Boba. I didn't see him until 5, not 4.
I think he was, but I think they kind of zoomed in on him a little bit.
Okay.
Because like this one, it actually kind of stops on him.
Yeah.
But I think in the original, he was just kind of in the background doing Boba things.
The man that is in the suit for Boba for this one and the next one, I think his name is Ray Stevenson. Or something along those lines.
He died.
Was it Ray?
Recently.
I think that was Ray Stevens.
Was it?
I think. I can't remember. But anyway, he's going to be at the Fanboy Expo.
Oh, then he didn't die. No. That's especially true. You got a stormtrooper just talking to a plague doctor. I mean, that's all it is. It's a plague doctor mask with the bottom that's not pointy.
Yeah, it's an elephant.
It's a flaccid.
He was having erectile difficulties.
Yes.
There's the Millennium Falcon flying off. I mean, it checks out.
And getting to see the whole crew inside the Millennium Falcon is just so neat. I've got a sun shield for my car that whenever you unfold it, it looks like the crew is sitting in the vehicle. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's super neat. And we get to see the Death Star and how Leia is just, she's not scared.
She gives zero fucks.
Yep, not a one, not nor two. And
not even three at some days.
Some days, especially this day.
Right.
But this is also where they make her watch Alderaan, her home planet, be destroyed in front of her eyes.
To be deplanetized.
Yeah.
And demoted to the rank of asteroid field.
And it's cool because they got to really explode a little model for the filming of it, which I'm sure was a really good time.
Do you know they actually shoot, whenever they do miniatures like that, they shoot at a half speed? Because at the scale, half speed looks like normal speed to like human of average height.
And it would be very... quick. Mm-hmm. Like if you were to just blow up like a basically the size of, I don't know,
yeah, like
a softball.
For Independence Day, whenever they blew up the White House, it mm-hmm. was a miniature shot at half speed.
Really?
And then just, yeah, they had a lot of times they'll do robotic cameras mm-hmm. so they can have a camera follow the exact same path. And I think they did a rudimentary version for this one because this is before like computer guided stuff.
Yeah.
But they would have it shot multiple times and then blow the model up so they have several clean passes to like doctor it with before oh, cool. they completely blow everything up.
Smart.
Yeah.
That way they don't have to waste money on blowing a bunch of different stuff
up.
Can
we actually this click play for this real quick? Because I want to see if this is a practical effect or not down there.
Yeah, it's claymation.
Okay, I wanted to know if they redid it.
They did touch it up because I remember it looking better. Like it didn't stand out as much.
Because I like how the things move. They're playing that galactic chess or whatever mm-hmm. it's called. And you really don't want to beat Chewie at that game because he's going to get very angry.
You want to let the Wookiee win.
And then Luke gets his first training with the lightsaber here, yeah?
Do you know how they actually made the effect for the glow of lightsabers back in the original one? They would take the strip of film and an X-Acto knife and cut out the blades. Because originally they had, like, they were just a big pole of reflective tape.
Mm-hmm.
They would cut those blades out and then backlight them for the right colors so that you get that glow effect. It's also how they did old anime in the 90s, like Akira, whenever he does the like taillight scene.
Yeah.
That's actually cut out film and backlit to have the proper glow effect.
That is awesome.
And it looks so much better than whenever they CGI it because it, again, it just adds that extra bit of like weight to the glow.
It's mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is really neat.
But nowadays with the newer, cooler lightsabers, they just are able to have the lightsaber be the color in scene.
Yeah, I mean, whatever they're doing now where you actually see the glow that gets on their faces and stuff.
That's cool.
That is, cool. Super awesome.
Yeah.
That's the best part of all the new Star Wars things
We saw that in a really neat way in Obi-Wan. That was actually one of the mm-hmm. moments yeah. in that series that was great because you get to see that glow off
I
of
think
their
that
face.
Was the first time we saw it was in the Obi-Wan series.
At least, yeah, it could be with the actual
I'm pretty
like,
sure.
Yeah, 'cause I think,
lit sabers. Yeah.
I think Mando... The one time that the darksaber was ignited there, because this was, Obi-Wan came out before season 2 of Mando, I think. I think that was a CGI blade.
Well, I mean, the darksaber doesn't exude light anyway.
Yeah, right.
It draws light in, yeah. So it wouldn't matter.
My wife, that one. I think my wife maybe gave me something Star Wars related for Christmas or birthday or something, because she's like, hey, babe, what's your favorite lightsaber? Like, if you had to choose one. And I'm like, well... And then I went to a 30-minute rant of how like the blades are chosen, how the kyber crystals are made, like everything. And it ended up like of all of blades, I would have the darksaber because of course. But Obi-Wan's lightsaber is his episode 3 in Clone Wars blades are my favorite.
With the little Super roundy cool. bobble on it.
Yeah, it has like it goes down and then back up.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I like that design too. Mm-hmm.
And also the lightsabers in here are flashbulb holders. You can actually zoom in and see they just glued some extra bits on the outside, but it's an old flashbulb holder.
For cameras?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my favorite is Dooku's lightsaber.
Yeah, the curved blade.
Yes, that is my favorite.
I just saw something about that, and his blade is actually shaped like the hilt of the blade of Charlemagne, and the blade of Charlemagne actually directly links to the ancestor of Christopher Lee.
Yeah, and... Wow. To do a little bit of, I have two things I want. I've listened to the previous Senates, and I have two things I want to tell you.
Please.
First off, Liam Neeson is a classically trained swordsman. And so during Phantom Menace, whenever you guys were like, he's really stiff, it's because he was wanting to do actual sword moves. Whereas make pretend there are four sword moves, and like he was having to go against his training. And that's why Ewan McGregor was better, because like you said, he's a stage actor.
Right.
So he's used to taking direction and just going with it. Liam Neeson's like, but that's not how you fight with swords.
Yeah.
Well, so that's why it was all weird. And that's also, the ship y'all were calling a Junior Star Destroyer is called a Venator, and it was the main battleship of the Republic.
We've learned.
Yeah.
We need you after every single one of these episodes when we just start spouting bullshit.
Way too many Star Wars knowledge.
No, not true.
I went into there's two YouTube channels that I follow that just do like ship breakdowns, and I got into like a 3-week period where that's all I watched. So
that's
awesome. Way too many names floating around inside my noggin that aren't important to everyday life.
Don't ever correct Bradley class.
Yeah, Bradley class is canon. I'm pretty sure we rang the bell on that.
Just in case.
Yeah. Thank you. a security bell. That's just to make sure. And this is the part where that's no moon.
Yeah.
Right? Whenever no they're moon. Approaching that's the Death Star yep. and Obi-Wan's like, that's no moon.
Right.
And it turns out it's a big planet killer. And then we have the family all back together again whenever Luke, Leia, and Vader are all here together and Uncle Obi-Wan.
Can you imagine being the janitor on that thing? You know, you just got to go around and mop corridors.
I wonder how many Roombas they have.
Clean space toilets. I mean, yeah. I'm sure there's a few because I know we see one at one point.
Well, oh, yeah, the mouse droid.
At least they never have to mow the lawn, you know.
Right.
True. Yeah, no lawn at all.
Well, I know they might have like some kind of weird inside garden. Oh,
the Twinkie
and
the Donut and Two Twinkies. On the back, everyone on set called those a Donut and Two Twinkies on to refer to like the back piece of the Stormtroopers because it looks like a Donut and Two Twinkies.
It does.
Yep.
This is where Luke and Han are in the Stormtrooper outfits to go bust Leia out.
Yeah, and also canonically, they have a butt grenade. The little bump that they have on the back of their belt is canonically a grenade.
Oh, the little tube thing?
Oh, yeah. Cool.
It's a tube grenade. So they have an ass grenade. I don't know how much I can swear on here. I know it's marked explicit.
Say whatever you want. I edit out the real bad ones and we leave the other ones. Right. It's fine.
Yeah. So. You know, every now and then there's a that goes through, but you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
What's really another BP?
Yeah.
Gets beeped.
Definitely.
Because I think I've said it once.
Yeah. Did I beep it?
Yeah, it definitely didn't make it through.
Go me. Good job, me. Way to edit.
I just want to hear it go beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, there's going to be plenty of it.
You just
it's going to be Morse code.
You can substitute R2 in for that.
Right. That's actually one of the joke fan theories is that R2 is the only one. Our astromechs that beep are just horribly known for swearing. Yeah. And like they just have a profanity filter built in, and that's all they do is just swear profusely.
So they would be speaking common.
Right. They can speak. It's like 3PO. It's like my theory with cats is that they can speak and understand human. They just choose not to.
Yeah. Why would they? They don't need to. Butt grenade. There's a real good shot of a butt grenade.
That's literally a thermos and duct tape.
The moment of Han speaking to members of the Death Star while they're in this little control room was completely...
Improvised.
Yeah. He was just like, good, how are you? Whenever they ask what's going on.
Well, and Han Solo was not an actor. He was a carpenter working towards ILM that was just filling in for the guy that was originally going to go for Han didn't show up.
Really? So, Harrison Ford?
Yeah, Harrison Ford was a carpenter. He was like working on set and George kind of liked him and finally talked him into going in and then... Harrison Ford doesn't like acting.
No.
He's just an actor.
Yeah. Well, when was Indiana Jones? When did that come out?
After.
Yeah, because I think Jones was like late.
It was around the same time period.
Yeah. Maybe early 80s?
Well, it's just pretty much because of Lucas and then Spielberg, Han Solo became an actual person. So,
yeah, Harrison Ford no longer existed. Like Han Solo was reality.
Yeah.
Raiders came out in 81.
Oh, okay. So 3-4 years after.
Wait, there's five now? Oh, there's a new one coming out.
Yeah.
There's only three Indiana Jones movies.
You can see my canon. In this moment where I've paused it, there's a moment where a blaster fire goes beside Luke. You can see a part of the film that's been cut to where the light hasn't passed through it yet.
Yep.
That is awesome.
Yeah, you can kind of see it spliced in there because it's the darker patch and the lighter patch, but it's all like a solid patch.
Yeah. And then there's a front area of it that isn't lit yet, but it's been taken out of the film. That is so cool.
That's a really good pause.
Yeah, that is a really good... That's that Lucky Paws, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
Sounds like a good dog brand.
Lucky Paws.
But the gang has...
Hold on.
We got to
watch all the faces.
He had lemon face.
There's that lemon. One, and then one more.
Lemon face.
Hold on, we got to say... Well, that's lemon a good face.
Yeah. Yeah. Lemon and then...
that's like... On him
there's
so
the one where Mark Hamill is... There is a meme of like all of them shooting. It's like the Mark Hamill face. Just he's like holding the gun, just smiling real big. There I go killing again.
Go back and forth between him touching his sister and then him doing the stress response. Wait.
Oh, she touched me. Wait, is he missing a shoulder pad in the next scene?
Oh, she touched me. Push her away before I let her know. Wait,
yeah, he's missing a shoulder pad.
No, the left one I don't think is there.
Yeah, that is his upper arm, ain't it?
It looks like it's
I thought maybe it was just where he was kind of like
leaning. You can see with Han, like there's the bicep and the shoulder. Yeah.
They end up in...
Fix your movie, George. Calling you out.
Continuity, man.
This movie's trash. It's garbage.
The scene is, too.
The scene is. This is because they're inside the trash compactor.
No, no. They're inside the garbage mashers.
The garbage mashers. I apologize.
The stompers. The wall stompers.
This scene is what terrified me as a child.
Yes, definitely.
I was a little... Vader made me nervous, but the scene to where that snake thing is snake in the eye. Water...
Well, I mean, that was just like one eye tentacle thing. I think it's canonically like a big creature.
Yeah.
It's also been the worst level in every Lego Star Wars game that features this scene.
Is it the hardest?
It just sucks because you're in a small room and you're having to aim. Like every single one, you have to aim at the tentacles. And I don't know if y'all have ever played Lego games. It's lock on aim. You don't actually aim in that game. So it's just a pain in the butt of like 3 minutes of running around in a circle and just. Running away from it, turning around, pressing R2, lock on, shoot it. Mm-hmm. And just that for like 3 minutes, but it feels like forever. Yeah, it's not fun.
You were right, though. He was missing that shoulder in that scene. Because in this scene, in the garbage smasher, he does have his shoulder pad back.
Also, I feel like the shoulder pads are changing length. Sometimes they are. There's one where it was like down to his elbow, and another one where it's like just at the top of the armor.
Yep, like right here. Right there was just to like mid bicep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whereas when they was in the garbage mashers, it was definitely to the elbow.
Right.
Well, they need to move more, like Han and Luke do.
And they just need to find properly sized stormtrooper.
Yeah.
Armor.
See right there, the shoulder pad's almost touching the forearm piece.
Yeah, but you got to take into consideration that might not fit another person's arm that way. He stole that.
He is short for a stormtrooper.
They even said it.
Right.
And then R2's putting his nasty little thing inside the wall.
He gets around.
He really does. And then he makes the garbage smasher stop, and them screaming for joy. R3PO thinks that's their agonizing screams of death, and that makes me laugh every time.
Yeah, it does.
Also, in that scene, it's revealed that there's just two guys on the other side of the room
pushing
the entire time, and they don't hear a single thing. They just let C-3PO and R2 go, and they just don't let it. Like, don't say a thing about the screaming of joy of, like, oh, yeah, you stopped the compactor.
I mean, it's probably one of those things that they're just so used to ignoring droids and going about their day-to-day that it's just whatever.
I do love how there's a lot of continuity issues as far as scenery goes, but making Luke's hair wet and kind of nasty after he's been under the nasty trash water, that was a good touch.
Did you know that George Lucas convinced Carrie Fisher to not wear a bra in this movie because there's not bras in space?
Oh, yeah, because real titties. Cool.
Yeah. That was the thing. Is like, well, you're in space. There's no bras in space because that makes sense.
Yeah, Carrie was just like, just pay me, man.
Right.
Whatever.
Because in space, no one can worry about gravity because,
Well, because at the time this movie was released, this wasn't like a big movie. This is kind of like a B flick, like a... It was on the bigger side of them, but it wasn't supposed to be anything big. And then it just took off because it was the first movie you saw like this.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the actors are not big name actors that they were known for at the time. There are those, this is my first gig, my second gig. And then they end up being in one of the biggest film franchises ever.
Luke does get Leia kiss for good luck before he swings across this little section as they're being chased by stormtroopers. Mm-hmm. And the whole gang is just trying to escape off of the Death Star this whole time. Oh, man.
Here it is.
This is the scene. Can we actually watch this one?
Yeah, I would love to. So Obi-Wan has stumbled upon Vader, and they are having their last showdown, which...
Look at that limp-wristed old man grill.
And also how slow that lightsaber came. Just like, ugh.
Yeah, he's old. We got to give it to him.
I didn't know your kyber crystals got old, too.
And I love how just stiff this fight is with the lightsabers, because it's like two old men having their little lightsaber battle with each other.
It's literally what's happening.
Yep.
And it was inspired by old samurai moves.
Right.
So, like, they weren't fast. And also, the lightsabers they were using couldn't take hits.
Yeah.
They were, like, a foam
brittle.
Yeah, they were a cardboard tube with reflective tape wrapped around it. So like they couldn't do anything too crazy.
And then the little touch of every time the two lightsabers touch one another, you get that yellow flash of light.
Yeah. And are y'all of contact?
Are
y'all a fan of thick lightsabers or thin lightsabers?
I like thin ones. I like thin ones more.
I kind of like the thicker ones. It makes it because their lightsabers are described as they have weight to them and they have like heft.
Mm-hmm.
So like it makes sense that it's like it feels more full to have them because Clone Wars and was inspired by the prequel trilogy, like that look. So they have the thicker ones, whereas Rebels was inspired by the original ones where those thin strips of light being cut out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, it's a big debate of like thin lightsaber versus thick lightsaber. I think thin looks good in stills, but in motion, it doesn't look as like satisfying.
For me personally, it just kind of depends how I'm feeling. You know, if I want to be really filled up by a lightsaber,
yeah,
I go for the big, veiny, girthy ones.
Right.
I'm having one of those days when I just don't know if I can take it all,
yeah,
then I go for then the thin lightsaber.
That makes sense. I'm glad you don't have to choose, right?
Right, exactly.
I mean, both are fine.
Exactly. I can just pick whenever I want, what kind I want.
Yeah.
Kind of like going to Subway. I can get, you know, wider wheat, 6 inches or a foot long.
Right.
Because I can't always fit all of that inside of me.
Either way, you're getting stuffed.
How brave you're feeling that
exactly.
day, you know?
Yeah.
So the gang witnesses Obi-Wan and Vader in the final moments, and Obi-Wan knows in this moment that he is one because Luke is going to escape. And he becomes one with the Force as Vader slices into him.
And then you get the "here I go killing again" thing from Luke.
Yeah.
Wait. Yep. There it is. There it
just
is.
Grinning.
He's happy to be shooting them stormtroopers.
He's just a
I
grin
feel like
away.
He was born like a grimace because you know, like teeth bared. Like, ah.
I love how Vader just kind of taps his feet on Obi-Wan's cloak just to make sure he's not under there.
Where the hell you like, go?
Did you just get real small?
Well, to be fair, Anakin didn't know about the Force Ghost thing.
Right.
Because Qui-Gon was just contacting Yoda about it, which was talking to Obi-Wan. So that's why they're able to do more. Like they've been training for it. And Anakin was at like kind of like Qui-Gon where he just kind of got rushed into it.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't know how to fully disappear.
God, how long is this movie? Because I forgot because all this has happened in the movie and we're not even to the plot of going to destroy the Death Star yet.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
Jesus.
I mean, for a 70s movie, it is very long.
Yeah.
Because now the modern movies, you know, 2.5 hours.
I didn't realize so much of the plot took place in that last 30 minutes.
Wow.
Because, I mean, we're an hour and a half in, and, like, they still haven't met up with the Rebel Alliance yet.
Yeah. Wow.
That was just awesome screen grab after screen grab.
I know. I'm having to take a picture for the episode.
That's like a Whiplash cover.
Yeah,
that
doesn't even look real.
That's a 90s album cover right there.
That's incredible.
I think I had an Offspring album with that on it.
That is so good. Yeah, I really suggest that you watch Star Wars.
His teeth don't look real. Like,
they're probably not.
They're CG'd right there.
Yeah, the way his mouth caught, it's like an in-between frame. It's like when you watch an animated cartoon and you pause it at weird times, you get like in between stills.
But Mark Hamill does have some pearly whites.
Yeah, and he's smiling again at shooting those stormtroopers.
Yeah. He loves going killing.
It just feels good. You know, it's revenge for his, you know, aunt and uncle.
Right.
And his new uncle, his other uncle, his old man uncle friend.
Yep. He has a lot of pent up emotion. He's had a rough, like, because again, they don't convey time in these movies. This could be like a 2-day thing. He could be having a really rough 48.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that it's more accurate to the timeline of the movie. He's had a rough 90 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, that's the concept of time that I have.
He really needs like just a warm coffee, some warm tea, you know, weighted blanket, just to let him go sit in the dark for a while, you know?
Yeah, he's already falling asleep in the meeting.
Exactly, he's falling asleep in class.
Yeah,
look at that mullet, too. They have mullets in space now.
They've joined up with the Rebel Alliance.
They're called Spamullets.
That Tatooine waterfall.
The man in front of Luke with a beautiful spullet, and then Luke himself has a spullet himself. But, yeah, he's falling asleep in class while they're saying, there's a little bitty area here that we can shoot into. And then this guy's like, that's too small. You can't do that. And Luke's like, maybe you can't. I'm used to doing stuff like this, and they're even smaller with the Womp Rats back home. And the guy's like, hey, man, come on.
Yeah,
I feel like that's its own trope now. Like, the city boy or the country boy that doesn't know like the city ways comes in. Well, I bet I can do that.
Yep.
Oh, that's been a trope. That's been a trope forever.
Forever,
you know?
And ever.
Westerns, oh, well, like it has to do with shooting. I got you. Yeah. I'm real good at putting big things into little things.
Also,
especially when it's a bullet.
Yeah. All of the ships look like cardboard boxes. Like, if you pause on any of them too long, they're just flat surfaces with a bunch of stuff glued on it. It looks so bad.
I love it.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, it's that cheesy love.
Well,
yeah.
Some of the far away shots are actually just paintings,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
So I think, like, that shot a minute ago where it was just the hangar, I think that was actually a painting.
Look at the uneven lines going down the X-Wing there.
Where you look at the side of the X-Wing. Like, that looks like just the going up into the cockpit. It's like three different sizes going all the way up.
Well, even R2, the model used for R2 in this, it's... you can tell it's something that's hollow because it had to be lifted up and sat on top of this thing. So the model for R2 here doesn't even look it has the textures.
The bottom of it looks like a bat, like a deflated volleyball.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't have as much texture as he normally does because that's not the R2 we know.
But honestly, I mean, that's like a lost art almost. Prop, like, CGI has really killed a lot of prop design because they weren't had to just... Because now it's like, oh, we just have to make props for the main characters to hold. Like, back then, they had to make props for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And fat people can fly, too.
Yes, they can. Maybe not ride around in speeders, but...
The name is Porkins.
Porkins, yep. Isn't problematic at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, Luke has had a long 48. This all did happen in 2 days. Because now, like, he just went from... I don't know, being inside of nasty trash water instead of a moon, and then now he's flying a spaceship.
48 hours ago, he never left Mos Eisley. Like, he had never been to Mos Eisley. That's the equivalent of, like, us. It's like, yeah, we've never been to Nashville, and all of a sudden we're fighting against the U.S. government?
Yeah.
It's like, hold on.
Wait a second.
He went from moisture farmer, so you got moisture farmer, into I'm training with a space Jedi religious order to I'm stealing stormtrooper armor to oh my gosh my mentor's dead and everybody I love's dead to now I'm a fighter pilot going into space when I'm used to just flying a speeder on sand. I mean, he's had a freaking weird 48, guys.
Yeah.
And we see Luke and the other rebel pilots flying through the trenches of the Death Star. And it's cool seeing Vader actually there in his ship going after them as opposed to just being like, you know, the other leaders to where they're just telling other people what to do. He's like, no, I'm going to take care of this myself.
Because even in the Clone Wars, Vader, one of the things was back when Vader was Skywalker, his troops, like in the show, loved because he led from the front. And that shows it here because he never sends people to do his bidding.
Right.
If he wants something done, he goes and does it.
Yep.
Yeah. See, what I really like is he goes from, talking about Luke, from piloting essentially a car, you know, that just, it hovers, you know, since his knee height, 6 inches off the ground, to all of a sudden piloting a ship that's capable.
An F-22.
Yeah, that's, no, it's not even that. That ship is capable of going between planets.
Yeah.
You know, so you're going from a car to like I don't even know, an intergalactic spaceship, I guess, is a good way to classify it. And he's just killing it. Is he a natural? Has there been some kind of training happen?
The lore reason? Because I, Wars fan, have the lore reason.
I want to know. Tell me.
Okay, so the company that makes the X-Wings are the same company that make the T-16 that he flies. So the controls are the exact same. It just has a couple extra buttons. And that's the equivalent of saying my Honda CRV has the same controls as an F-16 fighter plane, so I can fly a jet.
I mean, exactly. That still
but
doesn't,
it's Star
still doesn't
Wars,
matter.
So it doesn't matter. It's
you're
a
adding
Star Wars.
A whole other axis.
Right. You're adding weaponry. He is launching torpedoes and has laser blasters. You're strapping an MG-42 and rocket pods to the top of a Honda Corolla and saying, he can drive that.
Well, not only that, like I said, you're adding another axis.
Yeah.
You know, also it's Toyota Corolla.
Sorry.
I tried to let it go and I really couldn't.
To smack myself?
No.
If you would like, it's up to you. You're the guest. You don't have to.
Right.
We've gotten to the award ceremony. Yes. We blew up the Death Star using the Force. Successfully
did it. The last 30 really does just happen quickly. Like I've never sat down and realized how long it takes for them to get the plans to like, okay, and we blew it up, we won.
Yep.
Like, George Lucas really wrote like a three quarters of a movie. He's like, oh, wait, we need to end this like soon.
The Rebel Alliance works quickly.
Right.
You know?
And oh, go back. We got Billy Buckethead over here. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that.
Look at the guy's mustache over here on the left.
Majestic.
That's from the Montagues and the Capulets right there.
That is a man stash right there.
But yeah, you've got a regular old baseball cap in space. It's a space ball cap.
Well, hold on. It's rolled up in the back, you know? And it's got an
extra
long
futuristic part. Yeah.
Hey, it's such a good design. It transcends planets.
Exactly. And the whole reason for this scene, even in the book, was because it wasn't meant to have a sequel.
Yeah,
and it was also supposed to be over at the destruction of the Death Star.
Chewie doesn't get a medal, and I will not stand for that. Not in my Rebel Alliance.
Exactly.
I like to think he does have one, his first just covering up, because surely he would get one, right?
I mean, see how low.
Well, 3PO and R2 don't get one either.
Yeah, but they're droids. Droids aren't people.
What?
Chewbacca's a person.
Whoa. This show does not stand by that statement, sir. Droids are people.
I agree with Otto. They're not.
Guys.
They don't have souls.
Look at 3PO Chewbacca and tell me that thing doesn't have a soul. Look at him.
C-3PO is a war criminal. He has been...
They're all war criminals.
Actually, R2's more of a war criminal because he was with Anakin's...
And he has molested every spaceship that he has been on in the past 40 years. Every spaceship R2 has been on, he has forcefully entered their crevices.
That's true.
Also, there's a fan theory that R2-D2 has never had his memory bank swiped, but C-3PO does, because I think at the end of 3... He only tells them to wipe C-3PO's memory, not both of their memories. Mm. So it's possible R2-D2 knows like Darth Vader and Anakin. Like, it's possible he knows. He has seen it all. He was a war fighter.
Well, he wasn't there when...
Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, no, because I've heard that before, that how did they not, you know, share the information that Vader is Anakin, but neither of them were there whenever Obi-Wan struck Anakin down, because even Obi-Wan thought he had killed Anakin there. So whenever Palpatine gets Anakin and turns him into Vader, no one ever knows that. No one but Palpatine and those people with him. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
And the Emperor's not even a thing in this movie.
No.
No, he's not.
And originally he was just a dude with glasses, like you could see the bottom half of his glasses. And then whenever they went into, one of the few good things they did whenever they digitally remastered it was turn him into Lord Sidious.
Yeah. Cool.
Like, they basically took his, because they already had shot 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. So they had like the template and they just like picked that up and put it over here and like holified it. Whereas in the originals, I think it's just like a dude, because I've never seen the original 5. I've only seen it on DVD. And I think it is just like a dude with like glasses on the bottom.
You talking about Palpatine when you actually see him? No, it was him.
Was it?
Because there was a thing going around when they actually filmed episodes 1, 2, and 3 that in the original 4, 5, and 6, they had to add prosthetics to make him look older. But in the episodes 1, 2, and 3, they had to add prosthetics to make him look younger.
Oh, okay, okay.
So he is actually Palpatine as you know him.
He is fully testicled.
Yes, he was fully testiculized, but we did not know the reasoning.
Now, real quick, before we get out of here, let's go ahead and just admire just the variety of hats we've got in this scene. Everybody's got their space ball caps.
Space ball hats.
Yep, everybody's got their space ball caps on, and they've got one man over here in his slick back.
His cycler
helmet. See, but what they never showed was how these guys are trained in speed, because when they run like Naruto, then they are perfectly streamlined to go so much faster.
I think we're going to have to run like Naruto out of here. Thank you all for joining us as we watched A New Hope. This is one of my favorite Star Wars movies of ever, just because it set everything up. Like, it's the very beginning.
I think of the live action, like, mainline, the main 9, this is my favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
It's up there.
I was okay with 5. I know it's a controversial take, but 4 is always in my heart.
Gotcha.
I do believe that I, during my flea market shopping this weekend, I think I found an original trilogy, so I might go snag that when the week starts again.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Nice.
Wherever you're listening to us, I don't care what app it is, click all 5 Death Stars, all 5 of them, please, and tell everyone why you love us or hate us. It doesn't matter. And then go buy a shirt with our things on it. It's on Redbubble. There's a link. You don't even have to type anything in.
And if you'd like to talk to us on any of our social medias, you can get on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter by looking up at Nerd Grapevine. While you're there, you can let me know that you've been listening to our episodes. You wanted to know exactly just how intense the love affair could be between brother and sister, because you're okay with that stuff now because you watch Game of Thrones. So if you want to talk about that or really anything at all, I'm always down to chat, talk to people, you know, put you on the episode with the discussions that we've had, and, you know, and air our private messages together. So do that. And if you'd like to donate money to the cause so we can maybe fund future projects and, you know, maybe have somebody pay for trips for us to go places and interview people and do stuff, that'd be great. I mean, that's what Patreon's for. Support the show. Get on Patreon. Donate a little bit to the cause. You can get on Patreon. Look up Nerd Grapevine. You'll get a shiny holographic Nerd at the Grapevine sticker. You'll get access to stuff that we get to release in the future that's our bigger production stuff, as well as links to all of our other things that we do. Just whatever you do, do not talk about this little robot that goes around violating everybody else's robots, because that's going to make them think that you're crazy and cause them to have a little bit of...
Hey, step podcaster. If you look in the description, there's a link that takes you to our Discord.
My microphone's stuck in the dryer, Tiny. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Let me help you get it out of there.
Where's the door handle?
So find us in the backyard bonanza. It's a happy, slappy, fun time. We're on there live, uncensored, uncut, and irrevocably circumcised.
That voice really screwed it up. Yeah.
It screwed me up.
Yeah. Redo it for an audio take.
We're live. I can't even do it right
now.
You can
do it.
So
it's fine.
I'm just going to.
You're off his groove.
It threw me off. Sorry, step podcaster. But anyway, do all the things that I just said. Yeah. It'd be real cool if you did. And here real soon, there's been some technical difficulties, but here real soon we're going to be doing video on our YouTube. So go ahead and subscribe over there. That way you can see it. It'll be edited a little differently because it'll be edited by another person. And plus, it'd be kind of cool to have an alternate, like, director's cut. It's kind of what we're going to be doing.
Yep.
So check it out. Love us. Love it.
And love the fact that we get to ask Otto, when life gives you grapes,
I would take the grapes and hold them and love us and cherish them through their life, mm-hmm, and make sure to take really good care of them.
Right.
And then once they become raisins, I will turn them into oatmeal raisin cookies because they're the best cookie.
They are so good. Oatmeal raisin cookies are so good. Does anyone else disagree with that?
Well, can I have one of your cookies?
I do disagree.
You disagree?
I don't like raisins at all.
No?
Well, that's just one thing I need to know is, can I have one of your oatmeal raisin cookies?
Well, of course, because...
Then I shove it up my ass!
It all leads back.
It's a circle.
It's a flat circle, like my asshole.
Pour them all together. Good. Drink it all at once.
Drink them all, you nasty boy.
Nasty, sick boy.